This is an Artist Journey podcast, the podcast for people thriving and creating as artists. I'm your host, Malcolm Dewey, and let's begin. Welcome to episode 38 of an Artist Journey podcast. Good to be chatting to you again. And in this podcast, we're going to be delving into a varied subject list from social media marketing, marketing-related issues for artists, and also diving into the thorny subject of what is an art education worth. In that, we're going to be looking at college in general and other ways for artists to study. I'm also going to be bringing you up to date on some of the developments in my studio and what I've been getting up to as well. Things that may be of interest to you if you are learning how to paint. But first, let's dive into this whole issue of marketing. I've had a number of podcasts this year where I've covered subjects relating to marketing, and I get quite a lot of feedback about that, because one of the problems, of course, with being an artist is getting people to look at your work, and preferably getting them to look at your work and buy your work, or maybe hire you to do some work for them. Whatever it may be, you want to turn that traffic into dollars. We've got to live, we've got to pay things and make a living. So it all comes back to that circle. You can't always be giving, you've got to actually give enough value that you can in some ways attach a price tag to it, and as we said, get a living from your art. In recent podcasts, I've been talking a bit about how, you know, I'm just not seeing what I need to see from certain social media channels, and how I'm changing focus. Actually, I've been changing focus for some years now and putting a lot of effort behind one or two channels. I've always said that this focus on Facebook and Instagram is looking more and more dangerous for artists. I'm talking from the point of view of artists because that's what I know. I'm sure it affects any business. And why I say it's so dangerous is because when I started really trying to market my art practice from about 2012, the advice was very simple. Get on Facebook, sell your art like hotcakes. That was the word used, actually, to motivate me. I was told I would sell my art like hotcakes on Facebook, and I didn't believe it then. And I have marketed through Facebook and still share posts on there, but a tremendous amount has changed between 2012 and now on Facebook, as we all know. This whole year, it's all been about how hot Instagram is. Instagram is the hottest thing around. And, you know, I was reading these blog posts from social media marketers, and I wondered to myself, are these guys getting a commission from Instagram? Is Facebook paying them to write this stuff? Because anyone who's saying that Instagram is the hottest thing for them, I think that is a minority. Because all I've seen on Instagram in 2019 has been a marked downturn in engagement, which follows exactly with the changes in the algorithm that they've been putting through, trying to get more people to pay to play. For the first time, I've actually come across an article just this week from the website Trust Insights. The title is Instagram Brand Engagement, the Latest Statistics, dated 27th of June, 2019. And in it, they refer to studies done this year since January, and 3,637 brands, over 1,400,000 posts have been analyzed. And shock and horror, the engagement, average engagement, percentage engagement per post has dropped from January around about 1.5% engagement down to 0.08 percentage engagement per post. 0.8%, I should say. So what are we talking about there? Quite a significant drop. The trend indicates that it's going to keep on dropping. Why is this? Well, if you look at it, that's nearing to a 1% drop. And I wouldn't be surprised that within a few months it's going to be 0.5%. So we're talking about a 1% drop in engagement. That's pretty significant. And as they point out, it's not just brands that are experiencing this. It is influencers in all categories. I have noticed it myself, and I'm sure you may have as well. The fact is that Instagram, in my view, is not the hottest but the fastest social media platform as far as cooling down is concerned. They may have been super hot in 2018, but this year it's all about cooling down. And it seems to be a typical corporate strategy. Build up a lot of followers as quickly as possible and then try and get them committed before you monetize them. And of course, Instagram has to be monetized. What's annoyed me in the past is social media bloggers relating this clear strategy that's being employed against us and then suggesting ways that we can improve our Instagram following, our Instagram engagement, get more followers, get more people to read your Instagram posts, take better photographs, be more authentic, use stories, do this, do that. Keep running on that treadmill and put all your time and effort into becoming a super marketer or a super poster on Instagram. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we actually doing here? Are we competing for social points or are we running a business? And my attitude with any business is go with what works and repeat and rinse. That's the way to do it, to assess what is your return on your investment, your time investment especially. You don't get any more time. And I'm certainly not getting into the I'm going to promote posts to boost engagement, because that is a false economy. That is the economy for Facebook and Instagram to boost their bottom line. It is not an economy to increase my business. Yes, some will say advertising, you've got to pay to advertise and you get to the market. But I also know that everybody I talk to on Instagram is spending less time on it and they are not focusing on any particular brand. They just are killing time. Most often they're just killing some time and flicking through pretty photographs. Let's have a look at the article and what they recommend, right? What this means for you, they say. Now, 3 points. Some marketers have begun promoting feed posts to get their engagement levels up. Well, obviously, they are falling in line with the business strategy employed by Facebook. So, good for them. Next, some marketers simply take out adverts to boost post performance. Well, ditto there, also falling in line very nicely. Third suggestion, some marketers use external marketing to bring up feed engagement. Anyone know what that means? Okay, let's read on. Such as sharing posts on other platforms or linking to posts in emails. All right, for the first time, I've read something social media oriented that actually is encouraging the use of email as part of a strategy. Collaboration, that is often thrown out as the answer to everybody's problems on these channels. Now, I do encourage collaboration. Certainly I do, but I encourage collaboration not through social media per se, but through things like guest posts, and linking up with your business strategy. If you are selling books, then guest post and link up with another influencer or someone else starting out in your field and collaborate with them to get people to see your website, see your books, and join your mailing list. That is the still, in my view, the strongest online strategy as far as increasing serious interaction and engagement with your business. It's not about engaging with one particular post and seeing that percentage go up. It's about getting people onto your website to look into your products more closely and to join your mailing list and to become a customer. That is what he's going to pay. There it is. In my opinion, I'm not going to be throwing more money and time into something that is being intentionally reduced. It's pointless trying to increase engagement when it's being reduced simply to get you to buy promoted ads or adverts. Unless that is what you want and you've got a budget for it. But if you don't, then why bother? Another article via Neil Patel. Right, the turn on investment in social media marketing. I'm having a look at neilpatel.com. A new study, what 100 social media followers are really worth. Okay, I encourage you to visit Neil Patel. I have no relationship with him, but he is a famous blogger and knows what he's talking about. But I'll tell you one big takeaway, and that is the average percentage of organic monthly visitors generated per 100 followers on all the social networks. And can you guess which is the one generating the best return? Well, it's not Instagram. That is practically zero. The number one can only be, Pinterest by miles. By miles, the best return on investment is via Pinterest. Have a look at neilpatel.com and read the article for yourself. Check it out. But Pinterest is the main source of traffic for me via social media. I find that the people who use Pinterest are amazing. They are looking for real solutions. They really want to get involved and dig in to whatever you got to offer. So if you're offering anything of value or quality that will help someone on Pinterest, they're going to become your customer, they're going to become your next lead, they're going to join your mailing list. Good things about Pinterest right now, they're really getting behind video. I've been uploading Pinterest formatted videos, just short videos, and they've been really working super, super well. So get onto some video onto Pinterest without delay. Next subject I want to dive into, and that is your education. It's quite a controversial topic, and what got me thinking along these lines was another famous blogger by the name of James Altucher. You may have come across James Altucher, in particular his very popular book, Choose Yourself. Have a look at jamesaltucher.com. And have a read through his blog. I read Choose Yourself some years ago when it came out and enjoyed it so much. I read it again recently just to refresh my mind on some of the real takeaways from his book. And of course, as the name suggests, he's encouraging you to put yourself first and not give yourself over and put yourself into the control of others for your success and enjoyment of life. So one of the big things that James Altucher stuck his neck out on is being anti-college. He went to college and studied programming. What he's saying is basically is that he can't remember anything he learned in college and it hasn't helped him at all. He is also referring to the situation in the US where the problem of college debt is crippling the young generation. It is quite staggering to me that college debt is as high as it is in the US. And did you know that even if you went bankrupt as a graduate, your college debt would not be wiped off the slate? You would have all your other debts wiped off, but your college debt would remain. So there you are, bankrupt and paying off your college debt. To me, that seems like the biggest conspiracy of corporate and government and educational institutions that I have ever heard of. And it's practically enslaving graduate college students into many, many years of miserable debt and working in miserable jobs to pay it off. But of course, that's one view. The other view is college is essential to ensure that you get into a decent paid job and are able to retire with a good nest egg and see out your life that way. And along the way, you can afford lots of nice things, a new car every 2 years, a nice house, 2.5 kids, and a dog. I think if anyone still believes in this lifestyle promise, then they are deluded. Unfortunately, where I am in South Africa, there is a tremendous number of young people finishing school who believe exactly that scenario. If they don't have the correct pieces of paper framed up and hanging on the wall, they will not get the job that gives them security to uplift themselves. The sad truth is, world economy has impacted everywhere, and employers are simply not hiring employees. Certainly nothing like they used to, and if they do have an employee, it's a temporary employee or on a short contract. So what is that college degree really worth? What is it going to do for you? In some cases, you have no choice. You want to be a doctor, dentist, lawyer, architect, chartered accountant. You've got to get a degree, and of course, there's no problem with that. A certain volume of work has to be studied and mastered to at least get you the basic level of qualification. But of course, that's just the academics. Every one of those people has to learn how to apply it practically. I wouldn't want to be operated on by somebody who's just finished their medical degree. And I wouldn't want to be represented in a court case by somebody who's just come out of law school. I want somebody who's experienced in practice and has the necessary skills. So, this is the thing. Do you need skills or do you need a college degree? For artists, I have no hesitation in saying that getting a fine art degree is an extreme luxury and is, in most cases, completely unnecessary. I think perhaps a lot of people would have no real trouble agreeing with that. What do you need a fine art degree for? Maybe it's a requirement to become a teacher in a college, and you need a fine art degree to be chosen for that job. But to be an artist, hardly necessary at all. And in many cases, fine art degree is going to hold you back. And I'm not going to argue the details of that, but I know many artists with fine art degrees who came out with very little skills as far as painting is concerned. So don't worry about that. Rather, focus on skills. Learn the practical side of becoming an artist. Learn the business side of becoming an artist. After 3 years, you will know a lot more than if you came out with a fine art degree. That is a generalization, but I think pretty sound one. So looking at James Altucher's reasons he gives not to go to college, well, rather getting skills instead of a degree is now considered to be a lot more important for a lot of employers. He mentions that Google, for instance, is looking at hiring people who have skills instead of degrees, and many companies are following in those footsteps. Another reason that we send our kids to college is to get them socialized, to help them live away from home with people of their own sort of social sphere, to meet people from other areas of the country, even the world, etc., etc. The fact of the matter is, kids are going to socialize no matter what. Why would you pay tens of thousands of dollars so your children can meet other kids of a similar background? And then there's, of course, the tuition fees themselves, which are just way beyond inflation and are entirely overpriced. And the amount of information you're actually getting from a college lecturer is no more than you'd be able to get out of a good book or an online course. And that's an absolute fact. I know, for instance, that a lot of the education I received at university back in the 1980s. Well, if I had a reading list supplied to me, I would have been able to get all those books out and read them up in my own time. Basically, what you had to do at university, you went to a lecture, you got some rapid fire lecture, and then were told to go read books number 1, 2, and 3 on the reading list and write an essay. Meant getting those books out the library and going to read them. Now, I could have done that in my own time. So next time, just mail me the reading list and I'll send you an essay. The other issue, especially the US, of course, is government bondage, as Altucher refers to it, being bound to pay off those debts through some miserable job that keeps you tied up to the workforce for many years. And of course, all the time lost and opportunities that go with it, not to mention the soul-destroying nature of it all. I think a lot of people now have to ask themselves, do they send their children to university? And if you are listening to this and are considering university, then consider other options as well. Think what you could do with the money saved and invested in other things like materials that will support or help you acquire skills. If you're an artist, you could spend a tiny fraction of that fine art degree tuition fee and acquire the incredible teaching materials, whether in books, DVDs, or in courses that have the finest art materials and the freedom to move around and meet other artists and expand your knowledge in practical ways. Sure, if you want to be an academic, you will probably need a degree to boost your CV, but if you're going to be working on your own practice, then far better to have skills and save the money. That's the position. What do you think? Do you still value university degree as number one? Well, Altucher does admit that he gets a lot of upset people threatening him with these points of view. And I know that it's taken me a long time to come to terms with my children not going to university. In essence, they have told me they're not interested in university and are doing their work in other ways. Thanks to the internet, it's changed everything, and access to information has changed everything. So that's the position. Consider your options very carefully. It is no longer simply a given that you should finish high school and go straight into university to make a success of your life. On other topics now, something that I've been working on my website is a new learning channel, which I call the Painterly Workshop. And this is a very practical and new channel that has developed through my art coaching program. In essence, there are a number of options, whether you can do a self-study version working through the online materials that I have uploaded and created. Basically, it runs over a six-month period, and each month a new and more difficult section opens up. Things from the basics of how to see as an artist, shapes and values, right through to color and brushwork and edges and all the essential foundation information that you need to be a good painter. All those objective technical issues. So you can work on a self-starter program, work through it yourself, or you can opt for the tutor program where I give written critiques on all the work you do as you work through the workshop. This gives you a lot more feedback and direction. The third option is my complete art coaching program. Although this is a much smaller program as far as the amount of people I can work with, basically I work with them one-to-one through online meetings, video critiques, and so on. That I enroll twice a year, and the second enrollment has already taken place. So the next enrollment will be in January 2020. If that's not what you're looking for, then self-starter or the tutor options. You can find more information about that on my website. Just look for art coaching and the Painterly workshop. Really, I think I'm quite excited about it all because I think for the first time I have everything that is really essential all in one place. And I think if you work diligently for 6 months through the Painterly workshop program, whether it's the self-starter or the tutor option, you're going to see a big improvement. And that's the Painterly workshop, something new that I have launched in July 2019. Well, I hope that this has given you a few things to think about, and have a look at those resources I've mentioned. And if you want any further information about any of the courses that I'm running, just drop me a line as well. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and remember to share it and give it a like. And I will be chatting to you again soon. In the meantime, thanks for joining me today, and have a good one. Cheers for now.